Thank you for listening to this podcast from
TheUnheardNerd.com.
If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
All hail Jeffy Jeff.
You're listening to Jump the Shark. It's the pop culture podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. As always, I'm joined by the incredible John. How are you, John?
I'm good, Will. Hello, everyone. How are you?
I am Will, and I'm good. Yeah, I'm all right. John, if I had to ask you, what would you say your favourite thing about COVID-19 is?
Favourite thing?
I mean, come on, we've got to look on the positives, right?
Okay, well, we had about... What, a month off paid? Was that 6 weeks, month?
I mean, you speak for yourself. I haven't worked since March the 23rd. And yes, I have been paid that entire time, 6 months now. albeit via the government job retention scheme, or AKA furlough, which pays, I think it's 80% of our wages.
It was 80%. Yeah, well, it still is until the end of this month, yeah.
Yeah, 80% of our wages to stay at home and not spread coronavirus around the world. So, yeah, it's been a real roller coaster. You're not allowed to work during that time. If you work, you break the rules of furlough and your company has to then pay you. And at a point last month, my company decided they no longer required my services.
Shit.
So I for those that are not regular listeners or those that haven't heard before, my day job is I'm an accountant. I work in hospitality, specifically the hotel industry, and I've worked with the same company for 6 years, and I made it to a very high position within the company, very well paid. And suddenly I was told you're being made redundant because they've really cut down on the number of staff. Obviously the hotel industry is suffering, people aren't traveling, staying in hotels, so they've centralized finance, taking it out of each of the hotels, and basically five of us had to apply for two jobs. Wasn't successful, which hurt. I won't lie, it hurt. and so made redundant. So They didn't want to just pay me straight up, here's your payment in lieu of notice, and here's your redundancy money. Mm-hmm. 6 years, you get a bit of a payout, not huge, but a bit of a payout. They said, basically, we want you to, we're going to pay you full pay for your notice, 6 weeks notice, but you're basically still employed until that ends sometime at the end of October. So I'm still technically employed by that company on full pay. Till the end of October, at which point I'll get my redundancy payout. So a bit of a shock, stressful time, very scary, stress inducing.
Yeah, believe it.
Bit of depression coming into play, it's hard. Luckily I'm fortunate, my wife is still working, in fact just got a new job, better pay, she's doing really well.
Brilliant.
So yeah, been a couple of scary weeks, but the good news is I found another job. Hey.
Yay!
And I start that job 2 days after I get my redundancy pay.
So it's gonna, what timing?
So it's going to be like, cha-ching, money in the bank account. Log on to LinkedIn, put up a middle finger and say, Will started a new position as such and such at such and such. And all those wankers that let me go can just swivel. Thank you for the money.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah, it has been a really stressful time, but it has all worked out well in the end. Get 6 weeks on full pay doing nothing. Brilliant. And get a big payoff at the end and then start a new job.
You've got the other bitter little detail that you mentioned the other day.
The bitter little detail? What's that?
You spent 2 years to get to that position?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy fired you, how long have you been at the company?
5 months. Basically, he came in just a little bit before well, I guess 6 months now, but when he made the decision, it was about 5 months. But yes, yeah, he joined the company just before lockdown started, as a new sort of head of all the hotel finance.
Uh-huh.
And yes, the charming gentleman decided that my services were no longer required, having not known me very long.
Yeah,
which is tough to take, but you know, as it's all worked out in the end, I'm not that bothered in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, that's all happened. That was fun.
I had a similar situation, which fortunately didn't go quite as bad.
Mm.
I had we had an email saying, "Oh, Big Boss of the company wants to talk to everyone at the same time on Skype," and it's like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
And so I actually logged in a bit late because I was in like the Skype chat room, and I must have accidentally missed the actual video call, so I jumped in a bit late. And he's like going, meh. It's like no sort of emotion in his voice, and then he goes, "Then you know, redundancies," and you're like, "Oh no."
Shit.
And I just looked at the wife and just said redundancies, and she was like, "Oh no." It's about another minute and a half, and he cut the call off, and then my line manager phoned me up straight away afterwards and said, "Don't worry, it's another department. Our department's not going to be touched." It's like, "Oh, phew." But even though the fact you've been told redundancies, it just made something in the pit of my stomach feel really sick. And even though the manager said you're not affected, you still feel awful for hours afterwards. You're like, oh god.
Exactly. I feel awful for all the people that I've worked with over the years that haven't kept a job and haven't yet found more work, you know. And when the job retention scheme comes to an end at the end of October, there are going to be thousands of redundancies across the country.
Yeah.
and it's I'm just so grateful that I've managed to get this position. And it's really through someone I know rather than, you know, it's down to obviously having the requisite skills. But
yeah.
The first foot through the door is actually because it's somebody who used to work in the company that I am currently being paid for photo if I call for. And, and it's like, you know, I was able to message him on LinkedIn and say, "Look, I've applied for the position. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Here's my CV for you to check over." And, you know, over 200 people apply for that position.
Wow.
I know someone there who says, "Look, this guy's worth putting through." I get through to the last five, you know, straight away.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you know, it's a real blessing. That's just, you know, I applied for that position not knowing that he was there. And then somebody else was like, "Have you seen on LinkedIn this guy's posted this job?" It's like, "I've applied for that." It's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's real luck of the job, you know, knowing. And, you know, obviously I still had to interview. I had to interview with a guy in Sweden. I had to interview with a guy in London. You know, I had to interview with all the directors.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, it went really well, and they liked me and offered me the job straight away. And you know, I've already signed the contract. Good to go. So
awesome.
Happy days, yeah. So, it has been a scary, scary time. But people probably haven't tuned into this podcast to find out what's going on with the job retention scheme and our respective careers. I'm just pleased and grateful that we're both still working, or I'm not working, but yeah, we'll be working.
We have jobs, yes.
a bit out of practice after like 6 months. Jesus Christ, John. I mean, it's crazy.
That's mental.
Yeah, I'm used to getting up and going out every day, catching the train, getting on the tube.
Yeah.
Commuting. I've literally been going out for a run every day, otherwise I'd be huge. Yeah, well, if I just sat around the house all day, what? Jesus. It's crazy times, really crazy times.
Yeah.
But yes, COVID-19 obviously had a massive effect on the pop culture industry. We would have probably gone to Comic-Con in October. And May, maybe, or one or the other. We usually don't
probably at least one of them.
Yeah, but
depending on what was on as well, because we weren't that impressed last time.
Well, yeah, quite, but yeah,
I'm sure we would have found a few things there to
pique
our interest.
So no comic conventions. So they've been doing virtual ones online. There's been some quite cool stuff. I think the DC Universe one was probably one of the most exciting in terms of news that came out of that. News of the Snyder Cut. I don't want to linger too much on the older stuff. There was another Wonder Woman 84 trailer That film is never coming out, I don't think. It's been postponed like
so many times. It'll be
almost, 2 years when it finally comes out, I think. It's crazy. It was supposed to come out in December. What was it, last year or the year before?
Last year? Bloody hell.
It was supposed to come out in November or December, and they decided they because the first film had enjoyed such success as a summer movie. I think I'm getting this right. Either maybe it's the other way around, but it enjoyed such success that they wanted to schedule it for the same time as the first movie. And so they pushed it back, and then COVID hit. So they must have been pushing it back to a summer release, I expect.
Yeah.
And COVID hit, and they've just kept pushing it back and pushing it back. And the same with, Black Widow for Marvel.
That's been put back, twice now?
Yeah, I mean, they keep...
Now it's been pushed back next year.
And I think, it makes sense, because movies are bombing if they come into the cinema. I went to see Tenet at the cinema. And firstly, it's a weird experience. I don't know if anyone's been to the cinema during this. Have you been at all?
No.
I mean, it's quite an unnerving experience just going. And I was a bit apprehensive about going, but the lads were going, and I thought, all right, we'll go. I'm not sure whether I'd have to wear a mask through the film. I'm not really comfortable with that. I'm obviously pro-mask. Doing my bit to stop the spread of COVID, but I don't really want to sit through a fucking 12-hour film, which is what it felt like. I think it's like 2.5-3 hours, something like that.
It's a Nolan film, I expect so.
Yeah, it's long. As it turns out, if you're in the cinema, you take your mask off when you sit down. You're socially distanced. There was plenty of space between us and other people. It wasn't busy at all by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a weird experience. It feels odd. I'm nervous about going out to places now that ordinarily I'd be very comfortable with. We went to the Tate Modern just to have a look around the free exhibitions, and you have to book a time slot. And it's just like you feel very conscious that you're waiting for people to move out of the way or try not to get too close, and people are a bit blasé about it, or you see someone without a mask, and it's actually it makes you quite anxious, I think. Tenet came out, and it's supposed to be the saviour of the movie industry, and just not that good, to be honest.
it's had a very soft opening, I think they've called it.
Yeah.
I think it's pulled in about 250 million worldwide.
I think they took a gamble with it. If we put this out, people will come. It's such a big blockbuster. People will come and watch it. And I don't think they got the response they wanted. Plus, the reviews have been very mixed. And I wrote a review. I just, as a film, it's like a fucking exam. you go in and you're expected to understand nuclear, quantum physics.
Oh my god!
It's such a head fuck. And things obviously. Nolan's very famous for not having a linear timeline within his films. Like, it's not point A to point B to point C. It's always all over the place. But when things like Memento. At least you kind of knew that it was happening in a different order, but it wasn't going backwards and forwards at the same freaking time. Tenet is literally stuff is happening in both directions in time,
right?
At the same time.
Oh,
firstly,
God.
You're supposed to wrap your head around that concept, and keep a track of two timelines. It's so hard. It's so hard, and I mean. It is a spectacle. It's a really great film. It's impressive to look at. And you get the feeling there's a lot that you're missing the first viewing. If you watch it a few times, you'll pick up on other stuff. But there's just no way I can bring myself to watch that again.
I've heard a lot of complaints that the sound mix is a bit intense in places, and it's hard to understand what the characters are saying.
Well, I mean, this is, again, another common trait with his films, isn't it? I mean, we all remember Bane. We don't remember what he said, but we remember he was in the film.
When the Tenet news come back, I actually went back to remind myself about that, because they released about 7 minutes in IMAX previews of the beginning of The Dark Knight Rises, and of course that was bootlegged with a camcorder, and it's on YouTube. if you listen to that, you can actually understand what he's saying in that 7-minute preview.
Right.
And obviously, between then and the release, Nolan obviously decided, that either wasn't the final sound mix, or he decided he was going to change it. And so when you watch the film, I even though I love Batman, I haven't watched it that much because it's just Bane's voice.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
It's quite hard. It's like doing a bad Sean. If you get the thought in your head that he's doing a bad Sean Connery impression, it makes it worse.
Yes, I mean that's not far off. but yeah, I mean the sound mix is. It didn't bother me that much, if I'm honest. I think I was having such a hard time getting my head around everything that just not understanding what people are saying didn't matter that much. But it is very booming. It is very overpowering and loud. And we went and saw it in Atmos as well, Dolby Atmos.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a whole wired soundscape as well. Yeah, I mean, a lot of criticisms for that film. It is an amazing spectacle. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't feel quite... I probably had higher expectations of it than I would mm-hmm. under normal circumstances. You know, if it was just another film and a succession of films, I probably wouldn't have felt as strongly as I do. But, you know, Craig, who listens to the show, thank you, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
And is obviously our friend. I mean, he came out and he was like, fucking hell, I feel like I've just sat an exam. it's just too much. So Tenet turned out not to be the saviour of cinema, I think.
Unfortunately not.
Now, there have been a couple of films come out. Finally, The New Mutants came out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably everybody's reaction. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll watch it when it's on VOD, probably. Because, yeah, why would you go to the cinema to watch that?
I listened to a podcast... Well, it's called Film Stories. It goes into the details of these films. And
don't mention Film Stories. It's hurting already.
Sorry.
John's moonlighting for another... Not just moonlighting, getting paid from another website. It's like prostitution, quite frankly.
But he did a thing on New Mutants, and I just didn't realise how much it had been delayed and put back. Not because of COVID, but just in general. They kept putting the film back, and... I thought it had loads of reshoots, but it turns out they decided not to do all the reshoots in the end. And the film that actually ended up in the cinemas was the original cut that was completed like, what, a year and a half or something earlier?
Yeah.
It's just been a long time coming. And when it has finally turned up, it was just like, nah.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I think all the faff around it has put people off. It's essentially an X-Men horror film. I think it's the last X-Men film from Fox before.
Because it's kind of the Disney buyout was just as that was supposed to come out sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it would have been out long before that if they had pulled their finger out of their ass, but they did fuck around with it for a long time. And finally, when it came out with a whimper and nobody really noticed and nobody really went to see it. I think if I hadn't been so jaded by going to see Tenet, I probably would have gone to see New Mutants, even on my own, just at the local cinema. Yeah, there's one few miles down the road, very mm-hmm. small, East Dulwich Picture House. I probably would have gone to see it, but, you know, it passed me by. And I had the same thought about going to see Bill and Ted Face the Music, which I believe mm-hmm. is out now or came out last week. Yeah.
Desk has come out, about a couple of weeks. 2 weeks, I think, yeah.
I haven't seen reviews for any of these films. I haven't been looking for them, but you know, I would normally notice a review for a movie that I'm vaguely interested in.
Yeah.
And I just haven't seen it. And I think people are... You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
I think people are just not that interested in cinema at the moment. It's become sort of a habit not to go. It's not an event anymore. People are too nervous about going. It's just not something they're doing anymore.
Well, that kind of neatly runs into the whole Cineworld story from yesterday,
yeah.
or this morning even. For those who may have missed it, or well, by the time this comes out, basically Cineworld, the chain of UK cinemas called Cineworld, it's unviable to keep running, and so they're literally going to shut up shop until sometime next year, which means the redundancy of about 5,500 people.
Yeah, which is really sad.
It's terrible.
I obviously lots of sympathy for anyone who's losing their job at this time, because it's terrifying and uncertain, and there's so many people going for each job. You know, if you think more than 200 people were going for the job that I was going for, and that's before mm-hmm. the end of the furlough scheme and before mass redundancies throughout the country. I think what it's going to be like afterwards is it's going to, you know, that amount multiplied many times. In fact, the guy that I'm going to be working with told me he had one position with over 750 applicants.
Christ.
And it's definitely an employer's market at the moment. You can get really good people for not much money because everybody's desperate for work. Sad times. I mean, Cineworld, there's one near me at the O2. What is the one at Bluewater? Is that... Showcase. Showcase Lux.
I keep remembering it as Blue. Yes, it's a Showcase. Yeah.
So I don't think there's many Cineworlds around here, but it's bad times for cinema. I almost feel like the independents, like the Prince Charles Cinema in Soho, for example, they mm-hmm. don't show new films. Never have. They always show sort of.
Classics and cult,
exactly that. And I almost feel like they're faring slightly better because of what they're showing than somebody trying to show the latest thing and that's their unique selling point. I don't know. I mean maybe completely off on that. I did see here on the local London news the Prince Charles Cinema were on there and they were saying that their revenue is down significantly, but that they're managing to keep going and they're managing to keep the doors open. So, I mean, that's great. And I think they rely a lot on sort of like a local feel, a community. They've built a community around the cinema. People support it, whether they're going or not. So, people have bought memberships, even though the place wasn't open, just to help pay the staff and keep things going.
Yeah.
I think that those small places, like there's a cinema in Truro down in Cornwall, for example, they do exactly the same thing, the Plaza. And I think Mark Kermode, the famous movie reviewer here in the UK, he's a patron of there, like he's like an ambassador for that cinema. And so I think they are faring better because they've built this community around them than the faceless corporates. Or mass corporations or the faceless like multiplexes that aren't faring so well because people just aren't going. But I don't know. Cinema's in a bad place and it might take a long time to recover. It seems like there's a lot of money in some big studios, but that money doesn't necessarily make its way to the theatres.
No.
Strange times. But moving on from cinema... notice we're not doing the news this time because I forgot. No, I didn't forget really, actually, but I just don't think there's anything amazingly significant right at the moment. So we just have a general chit chat this episode of Jump the Shark and just be grateful that we can do this finally, sorted out the audio problems that we were having for a long time.
But each of us had microphone problems in the run up to recording.
My problems have been long running with the setup and my laptop is aging and will need replacing soon unless you tell me how to replace this drive later I finally reached breaking point and just like wiped all the settings and started again, and actually I think I've cracked it, so
yay.
It should be sounding pretty crisp and sexy, I would have thought. He says that very unsexy. So, John, what have you watched at the cinema lately? Anything? No. Moving on from the cinema. Cinema's struggling. TV is blooming. Because everybody's at home watching TV. It's such demand. A huge demand for things on Netflix, on Amazon, for example, on Disney Plus. The problem is they can't actually make TV at the moment.
No, it's only just started slowly going back into production, hasn't it?
It has. I think there's a US soap opera. Something and the Brave or The Young and the Brave or something? I can't remember. They carried on filming throughout the pandemic because America, why not? there's frequent love scenes or smooching scenes, and they couldn't obviously kiss each other because of the pandemic. So, uh-huh. So the actors had to act with mannequins.
Oh, God.
So you see the guy kissing basically a mannequin, and it's like obvious, like shot from behind the mannequin with a wig on.
It's, oh, damn.
Very funny, very funny. But I've been watching a lot of TV, John, because what else am I going to do?
Exactly.
So, well, have you watched, what have you been watching? Have you watched any TV lately? I know one thing you've been watching. I think
okay, well, The Boys have returned.
Yeah, have you been keeping up episode by episode?
Oh, I have indeed, yes. Eagerly awaiting, what, two, time of recording? There's one or two left, I think.
Yeah, I think episode nine, was it episode nine this Friday, I think, came out?
No, so I think we just had seven.
Was it seven? My mistake. Okay.
Yes, with that explosive ending, in quote marks.
Explosive ending, but also pretty explosive start. I counted the C word five times within the first minute and a half. I did not hold back on this episode.
That's what I love.
Unbelievable. Everyone, it's just bloody hell. Like, yeah, I know. I mean, I've got a tolerance to it. I'm not bothered by swearing, however strong. Yeah, I grew up in a family where it was commonplace. But it is quite surprising still to see a TV program use it so prolifically. Yeah, crazy. But The Boys is fantastic.
I'm loving every episode.
It just gets better and better, and it's darker and darker and more twisted every episode. And just when you think The Boys are getting on top, something happens and they're back on the back foot. And yeah, crazy episode this week. I mean, no spoilers, obviously, for people that haven't watched it. But if you haven't seen The Boys, like, Jesus. I mean, we saw the first episode at Comic-Con a few years ago. It must be now.
So about a month in advance, I think it was.
And the first sort of, I know, 5 minutes of that were just like, holy shit. Did I literally just watch that happen? Like, it's crazy that level of gruesome violence and gore is on TV on a regular basis.
I mean, my missus said to her, she goes, oh, you love it, don't you? She goes, yeah, I love it. She think I'll try and start watching it. It's like, well, I warn you now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she loves Game of Thrones, but she tends to turn her head slightly when that gets a bit much. So
yeah, I
don't know how she's going to take The Boys.
I think there's a difference between people getting beheaded with a sword and heads literally exploding. People being laser beamed in half. I mean, it's so graphic. You see everything.
That was episode six, wasn't it? When the Homelander gets pissed off at that rally.
Yeah.
I won't say anymore. But yeah, that happened. I was like, oh, they've not done that. Oh, my God.
And a super villain, hero, I don't know which, with a huge penis. Enormous penis. And that's his weapon. That's his superpower. Wow.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that already.
Just wow. I mean, but The Boys has done so brilliant. It's like the highest grossing program for Amazon.
It's fantastic.
By far and away the most popular product. It's cool.
Despite the fact the ugly side of the internet tried to bring it down a bit when it first came back on.
Right.
You don't hear it because I don't think they did it like, but this time they're releasing it an episode a week, like the old days.
Yeah.
And when it first came back on, they put the first three on, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And then it went 1 week. And a sizable chunk of the internet fanage decided that wasn't good enough. And so they started review bombing it and giving it one-star reviews because they had to wait an episode a week.
Yeah, I prefer it 1 week. And it may be because I'm an old-school TV
yeah, I know what you're
saying. Yeah, we used to wait a week for every program when we were young. I mean,
for us, it'd be if we had to wait 2 weeks, that would piss us off. You know, you sit down to watch something and they go, oh, due to today's bombing in such and such a place, there's a news report and there won't be your episode this week. You're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, that would be annoying. But I like it once a week. I can keep up once a week. When it's... I don't... I mean, I feel... it's almost like a pressure to binge it. You've got to watch it all, yeah, so you're caught up, so you know what's going on. And it's like, actually, I quite like having something to look forward to each week. I know, like, Friday comes, it's like, brilliant. I know I've obviously not got work at the moment, but if I was working, I can sit up late on a Friday and watch that, and it doesn't matter. And it's like, that's a good end to the week, you know? I'm happy with it. I like it once a week. I'm happy with that. But yeah, it is fantastic. The Boys, and I've seen people on social media saying The Boys is amazing. That I would never expect, you know, mums of like little kids.
All right.
Like, really? Like, wow. Just not interested in any superhero shit, but they really like The Boys.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go. So The Boys at the moment is 5 out of 5 for me. I'm enjoying it.
Definitely.
It opens my eyes every week. I'm never bored with it. I'm never sat on the sofa falling asleep watching The Boys. I've been trying to catch up with Umbrella Academy.
Oh yes.
So I mentioned, I think in the last show many months ago, that I was watching season one. Well, I finished. Mm-hmm. Moved on to season two, which is infinitely better. Like,
really?
Miles better, I think. Yeah, it's like suddenly it becomes a lot more interesting. But I haven't finished it. I've still got probably half a season to get through. So, you know, and again, I find it a little bit overbearing to have it all there available in one go.
Yeah.
To binge through, I just don't. I need a bit more time to get through it anyway. So I've been enjoying that. And Away on Netflix. Have you watched any of that?
No, what's that one?
It's Hilary Swank is the star, and she's an astronaut.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen a few pictures. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's all very real worldy. You know, it's nothing like specific. It is science fiction, but it's not like way in the future, mad, crazy technology. It's like it's all current sort of. Or familiar looking technology. It's nothing crazy about it. It's not set hugely in the future, but it's about, she's an astronaut, her husband has an illness that prevents him from taking part in the mission, in a practical, like being on the spacecraft. So he's on the ground, he's like a controller on the ground, just as the mission's about to take off, he has an illness that prevents him from performing his duties. They've got a daughter together. She's conflicted about whether to go. She's going to be away for 3 years, or whether to stay and, like, at the last minute pull out of the mission. She loses the respect and authority on the spacecraft because an incident happens and she doesn't react in the right way. Some people think she did, some people think, and it's all, yeah, I thought it was going to be a bit more action. I thought it was going to be a bit more, they're traveling to Mars on a spaceship and shit goes wrong with the ship, or, you know, they've got it's all relationship stuff. It's all, so far, I haven't seen it all. I think I'm maybe 4 episodes in, but every week it focuses on a different member of the crew and the emotional challenges that they're facing within their lives.
Okay.
It's like, oh, that's a bit of a yawn. The first episode, I could have written the script. Like, give me the first 15 minutes and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen throughout the whole episode. It was so scripted, like so obvious what was going to happen. So we've persevered with it a little bit. So, like I say, we've gone through about 4 episodes. We'll probably try and finish it because it's not terribly long, but it is really slow going. Now, our friend and listener to the show, Ben. Hi, Ben.
Mm. Hi, Ben.
He liked it. He really likes it. So, so he's wrong. No, he says it's good. So I'm persevering, really, because why not? So what have you been watching other than The Boys, John?
I lasted about 15 minutes into Lower Decks.
Oh, really? I haven't watched any of that.
Just wasn't for me.
No.
I know it's kind of, it's like, I think you described it better at that time, but a bit like sort of Rick and Morty on Star Trek. But I just don't feel it worked.
Oh, shame.
So that got turned off.
Oh, I had hopes for that. I thought it was going to be quite funny.
But I mean, your opinion obviously can be different, but.
Well, thanks.
Not for me.
Okay, well, that's short and sweet, but fair enough.
Yeah, there you go.
That one off. Anything else?
I've written down stuff I can remember. I've been going each direction of the timeline, old stuff and newer stuff. Since we're watching Cobra Kai Season 2, we're actually finished it now.
Yeah.
I actually got around to watching The Karate Kid Part 2 and Part 3.
Oh, wow. Had you not seen them?
No. I think I watched the original Karate Kid before I started watching Cobra Kai, just so I'd get all the references.
Okay, yeah.
And then when we got about 3 or 4 episodes into Season 2, I recognised stuff that was from Part 2. And I thought, I'm going to watch Part 2 and 3 before we watch the rest of the season. So I went to work and, yeah, I watched 2 and 3.
Oh, I haven't watched any of Cobra Kai. And I know it first came out on, was it Yahoo?
YouTube Red.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, their subscription service that now no longer exists, I think.
Yeah, it's just YouTube Premium now, isn't it? Where you can get rid of adverts. But okay, so interesting. So it made the leap onto Netflix and suddenly it became very popular and everybody's been watching it. I haven't got round to it at all yet. And to be honest, I know I watched Karate Kid Part 1 and 2, but way back in the day when they came out.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever watched Part 3. I certainly didn't watch the one with Will Smith's son in.
No.
Which is probably not canon. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think it is. Well, it's not in Cobra Kai, no.
But that's been renewed for a third and fourth season already.
There was a trailer just the other day with a sneak peek of 3 and finished up with a tagline... Season 4 in training.
Right. Well, people will be pleased about that. It seems quite popular.
It's a very good show.
Cool. Well, I will definitely have to check that out. Incidentally, I remember at school there was a fight in the playground once, and some kid had obviously watched Karate Kid because he thought the crane kick was going to work for him. it didn't. No. He got the shit kicked out of him.
I'm surprised it works in a film, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very flawed tactic, isn't it? Like, your one method of attack is going to be the crane kick. That's it.
Apparently, it's an illegal move as well, technically. I think I heard someone say. It's like, oh, really? Okay.
That's it. I'm never watching it. No, it's quite cool. My kids do karate. Mm-hmm. And it's quite scary. They come back and do all these kicks and punches and stuff. It's like, whoa. Yeah. Oh my God, you actually can do it. It's crazy. Wow. I aspired to learn karate when I was a kid from a book. That didn't go well. Cool. So I know you've watched this and I've been watching it. I watched the first season when it was first on, and I've been watching the second season. Ghosts.
Oh, sorry. I just rewatched season 1 again the past couple of days. I fucking love that show.
It's really easy watching, isn't it?
It's so funny. It's surprisingly touching in places as well.
Yeah, it's almost like
it's fantastic.
Kids TV with a slightly it's like adult jokes in a kids program almost.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know, I don't know if it's made it to the US. I think it has. I think I saw somebody talk about it. Very sedate comedy, light comedy about a couple that inherit, or the girl inherits a house, a family home.
A huge old mansion, yeah.
Huge old mansion. They move in, they decide to keep it rather than sell it, with the aspirations of turning it into a hotel. And basically can't afford to do so. They don't have the money. But what they discover is that the house is haunted, but only the woman that's moved into the house can see them and communicate with them.
Well, yeah, that's because one of the ghosts manages to push her out the window.
Right, yeah.
Because in the first episode, the ghosts want them gone.
Yeah.
This one ghost has got the power. If he concentrates as hard as he can, he can push things around with his finger. I can't remember if she slips. I think he goes to try and push her and she slips. I can't remember now. But basically, yeah, she falls out the window. They think she's dead, but she goes to hospital. She's in a coma for 2 weeks, I think it is. And then when she comes back to the house, she discovers that she can see the ghosts in the house and talk to them and everything.
They're all ancestors of hers. Throughout the ages, they're all related.
They're all people who've lived in that spot.
And,
so you've got, I think, so there's a caveman.
Yeah, he's the funniest.
He's fantastic.
It's such childish humour. But it's
look, there's a box, wheels, they go, oh, it's a car.
There's a politician who has no trousers because when he died, he didn't have them on.
He died in a sex scandal. She's got no chances on. Yeah. There's a woman who's a Sergeant Major from World War II, a woman who's burned at the witch trials.
Yeah.
I can't remember what era she's in. That one called Kitty.
Yeah.
And then there's Lady Button of the House from, is it Victorian times?
Could be.
Oh, that guy's a poet as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Damn your eyes, man.
Yeah, and it's from the sort of creators of Horrible Histories, which must have made it to other shores. It's so good.
That's a fantastic show.
We went and watched Horrible Histories live, actually, at the theatre a few years ago. It was really funny. It was amazing. Yes, but it's obviously for the kids, but lots in it for adults as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, really good slapstick humour. So, yeah, we've been working through, we haven't finished it, but we've been working through season two of that. Because that's, like I say, very easy watching when you've had a tough day, as I have a lot of them these days. Yeah, I do the school run, I'm knackered.
Oh my God.
School run in the car, I should say. And, something else that I think you will enjoy if you haven't watched it, but is also very easy viewing, very short episodes, 20-minute episodes, made by FX. Shown here on the BBC. I think I've got the name correct. I should have checked, but What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
And it's Jermaine, is it Clement from Flight of the Conchords?
I don't know. He says Googling it.
he's one of the producers and directors, and Taika Waititi.
Oh, yes.
These two working together. So that's two comedy geniuses in my mind immediately. And it's basically, it stars a guy called Matt Berry.
Yes.
Who's famous here for voiceovers. He's got a very peculiar or very distinct way of speaking.
Well, he was the head of the company in the ITE crowd for seasons two onwards.
That's right, yeah.
He did he did something where he played an actor that I tried watching. I can't remember his name now. That was not funny. But yeah, go on, sorry.
So it's basically a group of vampires. There's three vampires who live in the house, and they have a familiar that somebody who basically is a servant that looks after them, makes sure they're in their coffins during the day, that there's no daylight in the rooms, etc. And then there's also a daywalker vampire, but he's like an energy sucking vampire, and he can go out during the day, but when he speaks to you, he basically draws the energy out of you. He's with boring conversation, he's basically one of those people that makes you lose the will to live.
Oh, God.
It's really clever. It's really stupid, but it's brilliant. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to. You would absolutely love it, John. I'm certain of it.
That on iPlay? So
it's on BBC iPlayer. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. No, I'm doing it off the podcast.
FX in America. Uh-huh. Yeah, give it a couple of episodes because you have to get used to what's going on. Really funny. It's basically a fly on the wall documentary of a group of vampires. So people keep going, what is this, a film crew with you? Yeah, don't worry about the film crew. And they've all got these sort of Transylvanian accents. Yeah, no, don't worry about the film crew. And it's very good. Lots of little funny little things in it. Anything else you've watched, John?
As always, lots. Oh, everyone could go to the site and read my retro review of The Phantom Menace. That's what you can do.
Yeah, Craig gave a comment on Facebook on that.
He did,
still
yes.
Shit, I presume. probably. Is it really 20 years old? Is it an anniversary?
No, it's 99.
Oh. Okay, so it's 21 years old.
It's 21 years old.
I do remember going to watch it in... I think with Ben and Keith and our friends in Leicester Square. Was it The Phantom Menace? Maybe it wasn't The Phantom Menace. Maybe it was one of the others, one of the prequels. But we went anyway to one of the prequels in Leicester Square.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was with Ben and everyone. I can't remember now. But anyway, there were two guys with lightsabers fighting on the front of the screen before the film started.
Oh, yeah.
And when Yoda appeared... Oh, God, I can't remember which film it was. But when Yoda appeared, everyone clapped and lit up their lightsabers. I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest. So you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm trying to watch this film. Morons. But yes, so you've watched that.
Yeah. Yeah. I always have a huge list.
All right, one more. Tease us.
It's a lot of fun. A film called Grabbers from 2012.
God, John, is this safe for podcast?
It is. Oh, it's
not sexual, is it?
No. I describe it as a large dollop of Tremors with a little dab of Gremlins, and it's set in Southern Ireland, and it's about a creature that that comes from the sea and it attacks everyone and kills some people, and it sounds really generic and crap, doesn't it? But it's not. It's really funny because they discover that if you're pissed, it won't eat you because it doesn't like the alcohol in your blood. So the characters have to try and fight these creatures while they're pissed.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I think I've probably seen it.
It's really funny. It's really entertaining. I really enjoyed that.
I tell you what, John, you've totally fulfilled your obligation for obscure shit on this podcast. Anyone waiting for the obscure stuff, you've just got your payload. That's the money shot right there. Grabbers. Is it any good?
It is. It's brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Amazing. Okay. How old is it? Is it like 90s?
The 2012.
2012, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, good to know. Well, Grabbers. Okay. That's our recommendation of the week.
It is.
Cool. So there's quite a lot of pop culture stuff happened over the last couple of months. A lot of
shoes being announced by the look of it.
What's that say again?
A lot of shoes being announced.
Shoes, man. I love trainers, sneakers, whatever you like to call them. And I love pop culture. And I loved it when Nintendo and Vans did that collaboration many years ago now. And I bought a pair and it was easy to do so. But there are so many now. I mean, Lego trainers. And what fucking universe is that a necessity? Is that what? Why Lego trainers? Really?
Lego have even teamed up with IKEA as well, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so bizarre. And you've got a Lego Super Nintendo. I mean, we discussed this before, I think.
Yeah.
But just so. It's kind of crazy. So we had Vans and National Geographic, which was quite cool. I like Vans collabs, really. Adidas are collaborating with everyone. So as we said, Lego, they've collaborated with Star Wars a million times over. I'm sure there was another one recently that I can't remember now. I even saw Adidas a collaboration with a designer that's got a collaboration with Wild Stallions, the band from Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably write about that on the website tomorrow or something. But yeah, so many collaborations. Oh, Element and Ghostbusters and Nike and God knows. I mean, there's so many collaborations. It's weird. And it's impossible to sort of keep on top of it. And they sell out so quickly as well. And then they're straight on the second-hand market, or the secondary retail market, like eBay and StockX and all these websites. Hugely inflated prices. Crazy. The only ones
mad.
I really, really wish I'd bought, and I had the money, and I really wanted them, but they were so expensive. It was the Vans and NASA collaboration, and there was one pair. It was their old school trainers with just the NASA logo down the side, and it had sort of like ribbed bits that looked a bit like a space suit. And they were
all right.
Ordinarily, those shoes retail for about £60 at most.
Right,
£120 for the NASA ones.
God.
And yeah, they had the Velcro tab on the back with the US flag and the...
Well, all right.
They were really cool. I really wanted them. But I thought, you know what? That's twice the price of a normal pair of trainers. I could buy them and just write NASA on in Sharpie.
Just to say, yeah. Stick your own flag on the back.
Pretty much got the same thing. I do wish I'd bought them. I mean, they are worth a lot more now. And that's the thing. All these trainers are worth a lot more once you, you know, once you've got them. On the reselling market, because they issue them in such limited supply. I don't know, weird. I think the exception to the rule there is the Simpsons ones that came out not that long ago, you know, in August. And they seem to be still very available everywhere. I guess figured that there's a lot more Simpsons fans than there are NASA fans, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of collabs on that front. A bit of video game news. Obviously, we've had the price reveal for the PlayStation. PlayStation 5.
At last.
Yeah. And the price reveal for the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S.
And I saw
the tweet of the year earlier, I think, last month.
It was
a statement about the Xbox, and it was like, and this is not going to be factually correct in any way, but you'll get the essence of what the tweet was about. So, Microsoft revealed that the Xbox Series X will not be backwards compatible with the Xbox One S, but will be compatible with the Xbox. And it's just like all this bullshit about Xbox One S, Xbox One, Xbox Series. And then the person had just tweeted, whoever named the PlayStation 2 the PlayStation 2 all those years ago deserves a retrospective pay bonus. Because, my God.
It's so true.
And I saw you posted about, you know, sales of the Xbox One X. Had suddenly gone up massively because parents are just confused.
Yeah, it's a terrible naming structure.
Awful, really awful.
It's only just finally sunk into my head, I think, which one's which now. It's so confusing.
So we had the Xbox, we had the Xbox 360, the Xbox One, the Xbox One something.
Was there a One X and a One S?
Yeah, I think so. And then the Xbox...
Series X and Series S.
My God, John, I mean, it's so complicated.
It's utterly ridiculous.
I'm guessing, as a fan of PlayStation, that you'll be keen on the PlayStation 5.
If I had the money, and in maybe a year or two at least, yeah.
Well, which would you go for, digital only or the one with the disc?
No, I'd go for the one with the drive because it'd also make a good 4K player then.
Okay, all right, interesting, yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Also because the second-hand market for games.
Yeah.
Because with the digital one,
yeah,
you're fenced into Sony's service.
Mm.
And so you'd have to wait for sales to appear if you want to get anything cheaper.
Well, this is true.
That's not thinking.
Not something I'd considered. You know, I'm so out of touch with modern gaming that, I mean, I have Stadia. I mean, I don't actually have... I had the premium account while it was free, but then I...
Yeah, same as.
So I've got the free account now, and I just bought a game that I liked, and I play that. Yeah, I play Grid, motor racing game. I'm so out of date with it. I assume now that all modern consoles didn't have a physical drive at all. I just assumed they were all digital these days. Obviously that's not the case. Our friend Keith. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
I'm just going to name everybody in this show.
Name drop.
Hello, Jamie. I don't know, John. John, do you listen? Other John. John with no hair. Jeffy Jeff. We haven't given Jeff a... I think Jeff's struggling during this pandemic, you know? I think Jeff's
struggling.
He's struggling a little bit. I'm friends with him on Facebook, as we've mentioned before now. And, I just want... I want him to feel... It's all right, man. Things are going to be okay. He's worried about his friends a lot, I think.
Okay.
He's got a big heart, that guy. So, you know, all hail Jeffy Jeff. I feel a bit lazy that I just put that at the front of the show and we don't actually say it now. All hail Jeffy Jeff. But yeah.
All hail Jeffy Jeff.
Good guy. But yeah, Keith was telling me, like, he's a big fan of Call of Duty, and when we were having a discussion, I was like, you actually buy a disc still? And he's like, yeah, because of the resale market.
Yeah.
It's true. I hadn't considered it. I have to be honest, I think if I was to go for a new generation console, I probably would go for the Xbox digital version.
Okay.
Because it's cheapest and I'm not a massive gamer.
Oh yeah, 250 quid, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not
crazy. The sort of lower spec, cheaper model, yeah.
Yeah, but do you know what? Who gives a fuck? I don't care if it's in 4K. I don't have a 4K.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I usually rent stuff in standard because I can't tell the fucking difference. And yeah, that's probably an indictment of me and my TV. But yeah, I don't know. If I had a 4K TV, maybe I'd care more.
Mm.
I don't. But yeah, I think that's probably. I was always, I've always had. I had the first PlayStation. That's the last PlayStation I had. I had an Xbox after that.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I don't know, I just always quite liked Xbox. Probably, I'm probably very unpopular for that opinion, but and showing that I know nothing about gaming these days. But yeah, there we go.
I've flitted through most of them. I had I've had a PS2 since number 2. Didn't have it that long, but I had a number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Xbox from the beginning as well. I haven't got an Xbox One, but I had an original and a 360.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Several 360s, actually, thanks to the infamous Red Ring of Death.
Oh, right, yeah, of course. The thing is, I mean, I'm not someone who's going to play a lot of games. I'm not.
Mm.
I don't want to flip from one game. I'm going to be stuck on FIFA, basically. That's all I'm going to play. And maybe a motor racing game, because I like cars. I like motor racing. I came across, just a little aside, I came across this thing. I've done a lot of YouTubing lately, like not putting stuff on YouTube, watching YouTube.
Yeah. I do it as well. I could just sit there and just sort of go from one to the other and
work
my way through loads of videos I find interesting.
And I came across this series from Australia, Motor Racing. It's basically like huge 4x4, like monster trucks, but not as big as the US monster trucks, like big 4x4, like high power, massive wheels, very little body weight, like all fiberglass body, very lightweight body, but massive roll cages and all that. Hugely powerful. It's called stadium trucks or something like that. Stadium monster trucks or stadium super trucks, I think it's called. And they go around a circuit in these monster trucks, but there are jumps on the circuit, like wooden ramps.
Okay.
But the ramps are not as wide as the circuit.
Oh.
And you can't get more than maybe two cars side by side on these ramps.
Oh, Christ.
they're flipping all over the place. Like, so I was drawn in by the motor racing, firstly. It's like, it's exciting.
Yeah.
They're going around corners on three wheels. One wheel picks up and, like, there's cars on two wheels flipping over. And it's like, will they make the jump? People having to pull out at the last minute. And I noticed that two of the cars were sponsored by the band Live. Do you remember the band Live? Like they did
that. No, it doesn't ring any bells.
Album Throwing Copper. It's like really, like, just an amazing album. You, if you haven't heard that, you should definitely get that, John. Throwing Copper by Live. Great, amazing, amazing album. And they did MTV Unplugged back in the day, sort of the grunge era sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were a huge band. I checked the date on this thing, 2018. I was like,
what?
What? It was only 2 years ago. I know they're still going, but they're not that big anymore. And it turns out, yeah, they did a tour of Australia with Def Leppard.
Hey!
Go figure. And sponsored these trucks. And it's so out of character with the band, because the band are quite sort of, they're from God-fearing country, like Pennsylvania or something, I don't know. And they're such a sort of conservative, not conservative, like, politically, but, like, as in they're not sort of a band that rock the boat. They're not out there swearing a lot. They're quite, it's quite easy going.
Yeah.
Just found it really weird. Anyway, so that was a whole story about monster trucks for no reason other than to say that they were sponsored by a band, and it just threw me off. Back to video games, John.
Yes.
What I have put in a pre-order for is the Nintendo Game & Watch that they've re-released as a to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. Have you seen this?
I think I have, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
are they recreating them, or is it one device that emulates lots of them? Or
no, it's the same sort of size and look of the original Game & Watch devices, you know, the little LCD games that they were.
We used to have family friends who had some.
Yeah. So basically it's the same dimensions, same site. It's got the burgundy and gold aesthetic, which looks nice. But it's got it's basically got Super Mario Brothers on it in colour. The whole game. And I think there's a couple of other games on it as well. It's like £40. Amazing. I mean, yeah, it's like it's rechargeable. It's basically Super Mario in your pocket. It's great.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I've pre-ordered that as a special bonus for getting a job.
Hey.
and then we've got the Micro Game Gear coming out. Sega's Micro Game Gear. Have you seen those things?
I've heard of them. Apparently, the screens are so small it's hard to see them or something.
I think that's
or the screen's very, very small.
They're basically the same size. You remember the Dreamcast had this little pull-out thing?
Oh, the VMU, yeah, the Visual Memory Unit, yeah.
It's the same size as that.
Oh my god.
And I don't know, I mean, I remember playing Sonic on the full size Game Gear and it was a little bit blurry.
It was. I tried it once and I put it down after 2 minutes. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't tell what's going on.
But these things are about £50 and they come with four games on. I mean, you know, again, I was a Sega guy, a bit of a fanboy. I might be tempted by one. They do sell a magnifier for it, so you can actually see the screen.
Magnifier.
They do, yeah. Yeah. So
that's almost like an afterthought, isn't it? It's like, do you think the screens are too small? Shit, offer up a magnifier.
Indeed. John, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Don't think so.
Hmm. Well, I think that's probably a good point to end the show then.
Okay.
We've been talking for an hour.
So if you enjoy your racing games, perhaps you come around my house for Christmas.
What?
So, the kids' Christmas present. Don't tell the kids.
Oh, God.
We've got...
You might listen to the show.
What? All right, I won't say. Doesn't listen.
Yeah, no worries. Well, it's been fun, and let's try and do it again soon.
Indeed.
I've got the this audio settings sorted now and saved, so all good. Yay.
John, brilliant. Well,
it's been a pleasure.
It's been great fun.
Take care.
Bye.